B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Wait till you see who's going to come in the door.
Coach?
No.
Coach,
I bet it will put a smile on your face.
Oh,
David Keck is walking in studio. What did I tell you? What did I tell you there? Champ's in the house.
Todd Packer?
Oh, my gosh. He's in the house.
Look at that hat.
You know what, Ricky's? I told him. I said, what did I say, James? The minute that he saw who was outside the door, Ricky be like, get me out of here. Let's let David Koechner in the studio. How are you?
Good. I'm very well. Good, good. How are you doing?
I love your shirt.
Thank you, sir.
That is a great shirt. I'm John. That's Jamie.
This is Rob.
Hey, Rob. How are you? Take a seat over here. Yeah. Take a seat over here where we get a, and Connor can punch up another mic for
you. Obviously, David's going to be at Helium Comedy this weekend, which is one of my absolute favorite places.
Helium Comedy's classic.
Good club, yeah.
Yeah, it's a great place.
It's a great vibe. We had a great show last night.
Yeah.
It was popping, yeah.
Do you like Philly in terms of...
I mean, it's a great town.
Yeah.
Yeah,
great comedy town.
Yeah.
Great sports town.
Why is it a great comedy town?
Well, the audiences get it. You know, there's just not a lot of work. They're there to have a great time, and they get the jokes. Now, why is it? I don't know. But, you know, like...
You think that's just being, like, grounded to reality, and that's an escape, and they know it, and, like...
I think it's because it's a great historical town. You guys are... It's like, why is Philly such a great sports town? It is, right? Not every town is a great sports town, but Philly is. Philly is. Chicago is. LA actually is, too. New York. But, like, can you say why that is? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I think here it's generational.
Yes.
Is that for sports, it's that your grandpa, your dad, you, and then on to your kids, that we pass the obsession on.
Right.
And as my mom, who passed a few years ago, 90 years old, would, into her 80s, 90s, would go to church, come home from church, put on her either Philly shirt or Eagle shirt, depending on what day, what sport it was, because it's generational.
Yeah.
And it's familial.
Yeah. That's what you do.
Maybe it's passion. That's why it's a good comedy.
Yeah. That's
Rob Marin studio with us too, Rob.
John, you've always said something that I've stolen this as a philosophy for baseball, but it maybe, I don't know if this is your philosophy or you too, someone else. But
Memorial Day?
Yes, Memorial Day.
I have always been from my national radio show.
Yeah.
I would do that, and then I would have people argue with me in all the local markets.
No, I think you'd spot on.
Don't look at standings in baseball till Memorial Day.
Oh, yeah, makes sense.
A third of the season.
Right,
yeah.
No, Champ, I think, always would have focused. Champ would have obsessed on the standings.
Champ doesn't know what's going on.
0-2, is the season over?
Yeah, yeah.
Did you have the freedom to create Champ, or was Champ kind of presented to you?
It's on the page, but it's you that brings it to life.
Sure.
You know.
So was there somebody like from growing, you were what, Missouri you grew up?
Missouri, yeah.
Was there somebody like local?
No, because the local ones, they would always have these college kids that would do it because it was close, like the closest broadcast would be Jefferson City, and they often have kids from
first job
journalism, first, and so they were not very colorful, and so you know, but the script is right there, and it was so much fun,
yeah.
So you don't think about things till later, like, well, what if, how did that happen, how did I get that,
yeah,
and then you're so thankful that you did, but when you're doing it, you don't think of how am I gonna do this,
sure,
you just do it, and it's fine.
Huh.
And you have to have that trust, like, it's gonna be okay.
There was a rumor because Adam McKay was a Philly guy,
yes,
that, Ron Burgundy was based on a local guy here in Philadelphia.
Who you know not, you never saw.
And I never
grew
saw.
Up as a little kid. Mort Krim was an anchor man on the NBC affiliate here.
So that's why I was wondering, is Champ reflective of somebody else's
specific
sports guy? You know
they,
what I mean?
They may have had somebody in there,
yeah,
thinking about it, right? But there's no one like Champ that would be allowed in the broadcast booth. So in a way, he can't be based on anybody.
Yeah.
It would not be a compliment to say it's based on the certain
that's
person.
A great point.
I grew up in the D.C. area. We had Glenn Brenner, who passed away too young, was hilarious. And George Michael.
I worked for the George Michael Sports Machine.
Sports Machine.
Yeah, I worked for him for a year and a half. He was, and he had his ties to Philadelphia as well.
Yeah.
And I believe Howard Eskin interned for him.
Yes, he did.
Which is just crazy.
That's wild. Yeah.
You know, you look at a tree like of those kind of guys.
Yeah.
Sports is, I think what you do is, with doing comedy or doing things, people are like, oh my God, that must be a great job. I tried to do, as part of a, as part of a fundraiser, we had to do 4-minute sets at the Punchline in Atlanta when one of our fellow radio hosts in Atlanta died. Uh-huh. We did a fundraiser for him, and all of us got up. It was the longest 4 minutes of my life.
Oh boy!
So I had a great line to start.
Yeah. Uh huh.
I worked for people named the Dickies.
Uh huh.
And the number one rival was Cox Radio in town.
Okay.
And I said, on our business cards, it always says, better to work for Dickies than Cox.
Right.
But I went with the first joke. And then
you couldn't follow your own first joke.
Yeah, and then it felt like, okay, now I got three minutes and 40. Yeah. So the room fell apart.
Yeah.
And then it was, okay. What's the second pitch,
third pitch? Oh, boy.
I mean, is it easier to be funny with a script? Or is it to be funny when you guys are just riffing, or riffing on people in the audience? And
it's both. It's both. No, so I have an improv background. Like I started doing improvisation.
That's how you got Saturday Night Live.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. So for me, it's not different. Like I know if I can get up there if I have to without a script, I can do it. Now, if you're with another improviser on stage, that's that relationship. The two of you on stage, you're gonna take care of each other. The only difference is if you're improvising on doing stand-up, your partner is the audience, right? And they're going to tell you if you're funny or not.
Mm-hmm. Do you tend to want to? The comedians will say doing stand-up, you'll see some that sort of target the room and want to sort of pick people to interact with.
Uh-huh.
And there's others who just want to, I guess, sort of let it flow and see what comes out of the audience?
Right. So you can have that guided interaction with the audience. You don't want to just let it go out and then all of a sudden you don't have control of your show. So you will have, like Rob does it and so do I, we have segments in our show dedicated to where there is going to be some audience interaction. But you know when you're going to get into it. Yeah, it's a controlled. You know when you're going to get into it, going to get out of it. And if nothing else, you're like, we're done with that now. We're moving on. We're back to the normal show. So, you know, you're in charge of it, right?
But do you target somebody? Like when you're,
some people do.
Well, target is, I feel like who's going to be more receptive to this question? Yes. And sometimes you don't, if they're too receptive, you don't want to target them because if they really want to be talked about,
then they'll take over the show.
So you want to avoid that person. But you also want to avoid the person who's super uptight, has their arms crossed. So you got to find the happy medium of this person's cool. They can take a joke and they're not going to take things too seriously and they'll kind of go along with the premise.
I love the hat.
Oh, thank you. Keeps the sun off.
I'm not bringing the mood down or anything. I start chemotherapy on Wednesday. I've got a cancer right now, and I start chemo on Wednesday, and people are like, why don't you do hats?
Yeah.
You like a baseball cap looks good on you. Jamie is great. Like, Jamie's head looks great with hats.
He's a handsome
that
man.
That hat is very impressive. I never wear hats.
Uh-huh.
So I never, ever wear hats. So people are like, well, you got to get some hats. And I'm like, I don't wear them. Now, that's a hat. I don't think I could pull it off. David can because you have height. I think, like, Jamie is a large man, tall man. I think hats on taller men look better. Baseball caps, maybe, I could pull something like that off.
You need a hat stylist. Somebody can come in and kind of give you different variations and see what works for you.
Could work.
I mean, that person exists, probably.
I'm sure.
Hat stylist?
I don't know.
Yeah, but you have to pay the rent.
I said, give a plug.
But if you don't want to wear a hat, you don't have to. Well, no, if I start to lose the hair, I'm absolutely gonna. Well, my Michael, who cuts my hair, goes, look, we're gonna buzz it down. We'll make it look good.
Yeah.
But you got to keep the sun off you during chemo.
Yeah.
You got to wear hats.
Yeah.
So okay. I'm just trying to find a cool hat. I couldn't pull David's hat.
Yeah,
I think if you're under chemo, you can pull off any. You can wear a beer hat at church. People are, hey, he's going through some things.
He's got like
cut up some slack.
He's got a Yards Brewery hat.
Yeah.
He's wearing it
go
out
to
there.
Go a hat shop. You'll find some.
A hat shop?
Yes.
Where do you find? What was this?
There used to be one on South Street.
I think it'd
be
close. I was going to say, is this like 1965? Like,
where's the hat shop?
Let's go down to the hat shop?
Yes, a haberdasher. I go to this, there's a Western store there in LA I go to. That's where I got this hat.
Okay.
Yeah. See, I'm
not flying to L.A., Dave.
Okay, but there's got to be a good... You give me your hat size, I'm going to get you a hat.
I don't know a hat size.
You don't know your hat size?
No, I don't, because I don't wear hats. Look, God gave me this.
Okay.
God gave me this.
Good-looking hair. Yes.
Great-looking hair. Yes. I'm not going to cover it up.
I'm going to say
this. Like the Mona Lisa.
You're a grown-up. You should know your hat size. You know your shoe size.
Connor, do you know your hat size?
Yeah, 7 1/4, I think.
Seven and one fourth.
Yeah,
seven and a quarter.
I don't know. I'm not good with fractions.
He went to Division III baseball, but he went overseas.
Okay.
And studied. I mean, so he did. He said 7 1/4.
Yeah. No one says 1/4. You say a quarter.
You say a quarter. Jamie, what is yours?
7 5/8.
I would have guessed 8
for my big brain.
I would have gone 8.
Cabeza. There you go.
Does anyone go 8?
What's that?
Does anyone go 8 with hats?
I don't know.
That's like, would Shaq wear an 8?
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
You think Shaq wears 8?
Probably.
But he weighs an 8.5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You wear a hat?
I don't know my hat size either, so
you
I
don't?
Guess I got to admit, I got to be in John.
We do have that in common.
Yeah.
By the way, did you choose, because I'm looking right now, and I'm saying to myself that Rob goes to one of our other co-hosts here is out today, but his hat will always match his ensemble.
Really?
Did you pick the hat today for the ensemble?
Well, we were just actually in.
You're wearing like blue. You got blue Maui.
I think it matches.
You got a little bit.
We were in Hawaii. Fortunately, we had a gig there a couple weeks ago.
That's not a bad
gig.
Tough life.
Right. Yeah.
And they have a hat store there.
Well, I had bought this the previous time I was in Hawaii.
Okay.
I'm a world traveler. But the club had given us, they said, you can each take a t-shirt. And he didn't want one. And I said, well, this hoodie is nice. And they go, no, it's a t-shirt. I go, well, he's not getting a t-shirt, so one hoodie is the same as two t-shirts, right?
It is.
I think it's right on the rule, right? Yeah. And she goes, I don't think so. I go, well, I'm just going to take it. Because I liked it. It's very comfortable.
That's nice. That's a nice... The blue note in Hawaii?
The blue? Yeah, it's a good club. Great club. Great venue. I stole your swag.
The weird thing is, look, if you guys are doing shows and you're traveling all across this great country... I would think they would want you trotting out their gear.
Thank you.
Right.
Over a freaking hoodie?
Yes.
I didn't know this. Now I feel like I can borrow that hoodie anytime I want.
Yeah, you probably can. Yeah. It's okay. Yeah.
John Brazier from the Phillies has checked in. Bruce Bochy wears an 8 1/8 hat.
Ooh. Wow.
That's a big
8 1/8.
That's a big, yeah.
That is a big. What would you have been, both of you, if you had not been landed in the world of comedy? What would you have been other than Misfits?
Well, probably a restaurant manager, because I worked in restaurants going through college and after. Like when I was studying in Chicago, I was always working in a restaurant, so that's all I can think of. I probably could have been a restaurant manager.
Would you have been good at managing the staff?
But a little too much, because you've got to ride that line between being friends and, you know, they're your underlings.
Yeah.
And that's tough. Because someone's got to do the...
It's a unique industry.
Job. Yeah, yeah. It's a tough one.
Yeah. Were you a Second City alum? Is that what you were doing in Chicago?
Yeah.
How much fun was that when you were there?
Oh, my gosh.
Because I've seen a show there, and it's awesome.
Yeah, it was a special time, too. I didn't know when I was there. There was such an amazing group of people going there at the same time I was there. Unlike any... It's not been touched since.
Is this when Lauren first started kind of tapping in?
Well, no. He started getting them from Chicago at the very beginning in 75. Okay. So Belushi, those guys were from Chicago.
Aykroyd, too?
Aykroyd was from Second City.
He was Second City.
Toronto.
Toronto,
yes.
Okay, right.
So both Second City. So I knew that's where all those guys came from. And that's when I went to Chicago to study. And that's when all these same people came at the same time.
Chris Farley.
Carell, Colbert, Tim Meadows,
wow.
Adam McKay, all these, Tina Fey, Amy Poehler,
wow.
Rachel Dratch.
You're in Tina's backyard right now.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah. Tina grew up like five minutes from here.
Kate Flannery. I mean, all these people were there at this time. I didn't know.
You didn't sense the greatness at the time?
No, all you know is what you have in front of you. You just didn't know, like, well, I guess there's great people all the time. You know, looking back at it, like, that was unlike any period in Chicago for talent. It was unparalleled.
Now, do you guys date back a long time? Where did you cross paths in the comedy world?
Six, 7 years.
We met 7 8 years ago. Arlington Cinema Draft House, the club right outside of Washington, D.C., and I just was booked to work with them, and we kind of hit it off, and our acts sort of meshed well together, and then you had me come back the next year, and then we started doing a few more dates here and there.
So what's a tour? Like 30 cities, 20 cities.
Growing.
I mean, because you're here now.
I keep saying yes to more shows. We're very blessed. You know, you're grateful that the work's there, right? And then you were like, I'm going to cap it at this. But then you get good gigs. And
yeah,
I've got five kids, and apparently they like to eat.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
So, what you did during COVID? Because it's something I always think of people whose careers were most affected by COVID. And I'm not saying, like, you know, obviously our first responders and everything, so don't give me an email later. I don't want to hear it. But like a comedian, like comedy shows, it is so great to go see live comedy.
Yeah.
No, I got unemployment. Thank you, State of Maryland. I have a murder mystery company, so I have an LLC, so I was able to get a little payroll.
What's but people were able to do that
I
during COVID?
I was able to. Well, no, I did writing. I wrote several of things for my murder mystery company, so I had an idea that I'd been thinking about for a while, and I finally just got it done and knocked it out, and it's gone really well. So I tried to be as productive as possible. I bought a treadmill. I
bought a Peloton.
I want this to have signified that I made some sort of positive change in my life that maybe I wouldn't have if this hadn't happened. I try to find a way to spend that and make that so we could look at that as this year, you thought at the time, 6 months, whatever, three years, whatever it being, that there would be something that happened there that was actually a good thing that came out of it.
Jamie has like a bromance with his digital Peloton guy.
Oh, yeah, Alex Toussaint, yeah.
That's your guy?
Yeah.
You follow him on social media, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Do you know his hat size?
We're not that close yet.
It had to feel, for someone who's funny and someone who's used to interacting with crowds and everything, what did you do being stuck at home?
Well, you just...
Other than five kids, because that's not very funny.
And that's not funny.
No, it's not. That sounds crazy to me. I've got one.
Yeah, you get it.
And I don't even.
It's hard. So you just do the best you can. Plus, I was going through a divorce during the thing, so I fought with her a lot, which is
that's a fun
activity.
Yeah. That's always good.
So, but there, I did as much online.
Did you fight on Zoom?
No.
You didn't Zoom with her?
I did a lot of Zoom comedy shows, and they're awful.
I'm talking about fighting with your spouse and making it your ex.
I would fight with her on text or on the phone or, you know, you go, there's some apps where there has to be a third party.
And she
wouldn't even use that.
So you're trying to set up threesomes? Wait a minute. You're trying to get divorced?
You're trying to set up threesomes?
Trying to marginalize her ability to be nasty in a text. Like, you know, if you know someone else is reading the text, you're less liable to be an a-hole about stuff.
Gotcha.
But she wouldn't even, she'd go around that. And I was like, it was
she found her ways past this.
Yes. Not fun.
I got to tell you this, is I absolutely love, always have, someone you worked with in Anchorman, and that is Christine Applegate.
Oh, she's the best. Yeah.
And awesome. We loved Dead to Me.
Uh-huh.
And I've been wondering if she's doing well and everything. You don't hear
retired.
Much.
She's retired. I think she officially said she's retired.
She's officially retired.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah.
But she is such, I think her comedic range is incredible.
Right.
As far as parts.
Yeah. Yeah. And that she'd be doing it forever.
Kelly Bundy. Yeah. I grew up with
her. I love that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Kelly Bundy, a big part of your childhood.
Oh, huge part of my childhood.
Big part of the childhood.
Yeah, she's a lovely human being. So it's just sad that she had to, you know, go through. But
can you imagine like a show like Married with Children ever being on television today?
I mean, even if you look at Todd Packer.
Right.
Like that's,
I mean, seriously, that would never.
Todd Packer on TV anymore.
Never. He couldn't exist as it was written.
No, but in a new form.
Yeah, but now they'd write him and it would be wussified.
Well, no, but it'd be fun to watch him struggle.
That was
he'd walk in like, go, don't say it. He'd say what? Don't say what you're thinking. How do you know what I'm thinking? I know what you're thinking. Let me say half of it. No. Let me say part of it. No.
No.
Let me say the. And so watching him struggle would be fun.
This is why.
See, now wait a minute. This could work.
Bring this character back. Yeah.
Yeah.
To be able to do something like that. I can't imagine the handcuffs of comedy today, though.
Well,
because there's handcuffs in our business.
Yeah.
There are. I can remember, I've been doing this for almost 30 years. I can remember things we did on the air that would never.
Right.
We had the calendar girls every year at the radio station, where girls showed up to try to be in the calendar, in our calendar.
You could still probably say
Nah, somebody would be offended.
Right, right. It's like,
well, somebody's offended by everything.
Yes,
exactly.
I there's some good and bad in all these things, right?
So how do you navigate it?
Well, I don't do topical stuff.
Good.
You know, because then...
I don't want that when I go to a comedy show.
Then you're chasing it. And a lot of times you just be left. So I don't do political stuff at all either, because you're just going to divide the house.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, if you're not known as a political comic, then don't do it. Because you're going to lose half the audience.
Yes.
Right? So you just navigate. You just do what your life, your characters. And so, you know, I've been doing this long enough so I know what works. And you know where you can go. Sometimes I do like to poke the bear a bit and make the audience a little bit uncomfortable so they learn and grow. In my mind, it sometimes Rob goes, you know, that's a bit preachy. Like, okay.
But with your audiences, they're coming to these shows because they like Champ Kine and Todd Packer. So this is not an audience that you really have to be careful around. They get it. So they're fun.
They're used to the colorful.
Exactly. So, that can depend on where you're at. But generally, I feel like whether we're in Philly or we're in Tacoma, Washington, or we're in, you know, Columbus, Ohio, your audience is your audience.
Yes, they're not offended.
No.
But a lot of times people go, I thought it was going to be dirtier. It's so weird. And
I wouldn't have thought you'd have
so the opposite
show.
Of Bob Saget.
Right.
Yeah, right.
Where you expect him to be wholesome Danny Tanner and he's a dirty, filthy comic.
Yeah.
I took my mom to see Robin Williams back in the late 80s.
Wow.
I almost croaked
because he was dirty
at the Valley Forge Music Fair. This venue at the time, and I almost croaked. I wanted the floor to swallow me up.
Oh no!
And my mom said, "I've heard all this stuff before," that made it worse.
Yes,
that made it worse. As he is just, I'm thinking it's Robin Williams.
Right.
Oh my gosh.
Like, I've done some of these things too.
I wanted to announce. She did not say that, Rob. She did not. So, Rob, Rob and David, there are some tickets for Helium this weekend?
Yes, I think there's some left.
A little fewer opportunities to see you guys?
Yeah, 7:30 and 10 tonight. And 4:30 is the office trivia show. It's a matinee show.
That's great.
Yeah,
a little happy hour type thing.
Yeah, exactly. That's great. Turn out for that. And then 7:30 and 10 more stand up tomorrow night.
So when you guys hit a new city, do you go about and venture out and see new things, try the hot food, all that stuff?
We try to.
And then, or is the hours just kind of brutal?
You end up sleeping.
Yeah.
Have you done the Reading Terminal Market?
I think so, a couple years ago.
Where you walk amongst all the friends.
Get the cheesesteak, get the roast pork, broccoli rob, and sharp pro from DeNick's in Reading Terminal. It's probably by your hotel.
Okay, good.
Do that.
And steal hoodies.
Steal hoodies, yes.
And by the way, if you get a Helium hoodie, you want to steal a couple more, you can steal some too.
I'm going to take this microphone.
Guys, best of luck to both of you. Thank you so much for stepping in and joining us today. Love to see it there. Go see David Koechner and Rob Mayer at Helium Comedy Club. They're
great
absolutely
spot.
Awesome. We love Helium. Absolutely love it there. Hey, get the Bet Parks app too. Bet Parks Casino and Sportsbook app, the official sportsbook partner of the Real Philly Sports Fan. You got to be 21 in Pennsylvania or Jersey. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. You're not a Dodger fan, are you?
I'm not a big baseball guy, but I
Dodgers
mean,
are in this weekend.
Yeah, I'm casual.
And we hate them.
Okay. Then no.
We do not like them. Are you a Commanders fan?
I grew up all the DC sports teams, but I now work for 98 Rock in Baltimore, the flagship of the Ravens and the Orioles.
Wait a minute.
So I do the Ravens post-game show. So if you're listening, I'm a huge Ravens fan.
I don't know whether to do this on the air or not. One of my nemesis is in that market.
Well, it's too late. Now you got to name names.
Okay, I'm going to play password. Okay, I'm going to play password with you here. Short.
Yeah?
In our industry. It's Baltimore.
Patty
short.
I know a short guy. he's still doing radio?
He walks, I don't know if he is. He walks around with his name on the back of a jersey on Radio Row at the Super Bowl. He wears a Ravens Super Bowl ring, a Ravens jersey, and then walks around with his name on the back of the jersey.
You talking about Mickey?
Nasty. Nasty Nestor. Is he not there anymore?
No.
Is he gone?
No, he's not there.
Nasty Nestor?
Nasty Nate?
Nasty Nestor used to be this guy on Radio Row at the Super Bowls. and Adam Sandler would come on through and all these guys coming through. He would wear his Ravens jersey, a fake Ravens Super Bowl ring that he had made for himself.
Yeah, not a fan of
that. And his name on the back.
You're not on the team. You didn't.
No, you're not on the team.
You didn't play.
It's not us, them, right, and everything. It's completely different.
The jersey should be the player. Not you should never have your own name on a jersey.
Never your own name on a jersey.
I agree.
Now, a football fan?
Of course.
Huge Chiefs.
Chiefs fan?
Sorry. I mean, I will not apologize.
I've seen you, Eric Stone Street, and Paul Rudd do the whole victory.
Yeah, we love Andy Reid.
I've been a Chiefs fan since I was very young.
Andy is the man.
We love Andy, so Andy's always royalty here. But
we
had a great game. It was a phenomenal game.
See you in February in Vegas.
Right.
Let's do it again. Why don't you do a show? You guys do a show and get ready for that. We'll be out there for the Super Bowl in Vegas. All right, guys. Have a great weekend. All right.
Thank you.
Everybody go on.
See you on Radio Row.
With your Super Chiefs jersey.
And my hair will be back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.